i.e. shepherd's staff. And oftentimes the shepherd will use it to put on the side of sheep, especially his favorite sheep. And that sheep, feeling the staff by his side, is very contented and comforted. That's what it means, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They give me confidence, assurance. I feel, I don't have to look up, my shepherd is just behind me, but that stick by my side, I know my shepherd is there. I'm so pleased, so confident to walk along. Now, you know, when our Lord Jesus, before he went to heaven, he says, I will pray for you. Pray the Father to send you another comforter. One like myself, to help you, to comfort you. And he is the Holy Spirit. So you see here, the picture is, the staff is like the Holy Spirit to us. When you feel him by your side, when you know he is with you, the staff of God, that is the comforter. He strengthens you. That is the meaning of comforter. He is the one who is alongside me, who strengthens me, who comforts me, who gives me assurance to go on. So here we see verse 4. I will fear no evil. For, first of all, thou art with me. Who? The great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, my shepherd. You are with me. I am walking through this valley of shadow, but I know thou art with me. That's first comfort. Then number 2, thy rod, the word of authority and power, is with me. And thy staff, the Holy Spirit, is with me. And they comfort me. What a wonderful, wonderful assurance, isn't it? Now we come to verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look at this in two senses. Firstly, the table prepared for the sheep. Of course, sheep don't sit around a table. We sit around a table. Now, where does the table fit in? It is a well-known fact that certain terrains have what we call a plateau. A high mountainous place has a very flat piece of land. And the most famous plateau is in South Africa called Table Mountain. The whole place is flat. And that Table Mountain has some of the best grazing pastures in the world. It is a geographic fact and a horticultural fact that these highlands, which are flat, grow the best pasture for sheep. Now you look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. To the sheep, it says, my shepherd has gone up the mountain. True? Yes. The experienced shepherd, those who care and are enterprising, who are aggressive for the sheep, they go scouting. They climb the mountains, look for these flat areas like tables, Table Mountain, and see where the best pasture land is. Then what does he do? I found a good pasture. A table of green grass. Now I must make it safe for my sheep, because this tableland may be infested with sometimes poisonous weeds, or be very stony and rocky in parts, maybe have little pitfalls, maybe wild beasts, maybe snakes and other things. This is where the preparation comes in. The shepherd doesn't go and say, I found it now, all the sheep, let's come. No, they don't. They must survey, they must study, investigate, walk through the whole of this Table Mountain, studying every part of it to make sure it is only good, edible, wholesome pasture and no thorny places with weeds and poison plants. and poison animals and snakes and so on. He must clear this place of all these things, make it very comfortable, very wholesome, inviting, welcome, safe. Look at verse 5. You prepare, thou preparest a table for the sheep in the presence of mine enemies. And the good shepherd will go and clear away all those bad animals, wolves, lions, cougars, other things. I don't know what they are, but the shepherd knows. And he clears all these away so that you understand, thou preparest a table. What does it mean? You think the shepherd just takes the sheep anywhere, anyhow, everywhere as they go and eat? No. The good shepherd does a preparation. Now, how about for us? Thou preparest for us a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord prepares for his own also a table. A table of feasting on the food for everlasting life. Our gracious Savior invites us to his table. A wonderful table. And he wants us to keep company with him. I think this is a tremendous thought. Have you been invited to some very VVIP to have tea with him? Here is the greatest VVVIP, the Lord of the whole universe. And he says, behold, I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come and make my abode with you, and I'll eat with you, I'll sup with you, I'll have fellowship with you at this table, and together we will have a wonderful fellowship. With whom? Jesus. Who is he? My shepherd, my wonderful shepherd. And he says, I will come and have this fellowship with you. And he prepares that table. What kind of a table? Well, in spiritual terms, you say this table, he will furnish with what? With bread, with milk, with meat, with wine, with drinks. All these things talk of the Word of God. This table he prepares for us is not physical, but spiritual. The Word of God. And this is where he invites us to come. The soul-refreshing Word of God is what we need every day. So if you read verse 5, it tells you, look, you cannot be strong in the Christian life except you come to this table prepared for you. Verse 5 says, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My enemies are all around me. Who are the enemies? Where are the enemies? Do you know? Enemies are all around us. Enemies have infiltrated into your dining room, your bedroom, in your sitting room, everywhere. What are they? The media. The media is the instrument of Satan through the world to captivate you. And it comes into your house in all shapes and sizes by newspaper, magazines, journals of all kinds, television, radio, video, now internet, computers, all these things usher into your sitting room, living room, study room, everywhere, full of it. And every day you mindlessly switch on, and the whole house is filled with the sounds and sights and the filth of the world. What hopes have you got to become strong in the Lord? What hopes? How sad that Christian parents employ television sets to be babysitters. 2-3-year-old children, sit there, turn on, don't move. I go and do my work. You sit there for the next 2 hours. And this is it. I'm so happy when I saw my niece. He says, we have a rule in our house. our child will not see television. That's it. Wonderful. Wonderful. How about you? Through all these media, you flood the house, the home, every department of the home, every nook and corner is filled with sounds and sights and the feels of the world. And you do nothing, you invite it in. Verse 5 says, my Lord prepares a table, not a television table, a table before me in the presence of my enemies, which are all the worldly things, the satanic things. Satan has made all these things to be my enemies. And in the presence of these enemies, the Lord has a table. The table where he furnishes with the best spiritual nourishing food for you, the Word of God. Dear friends, how many of you have a structured program of Bible reading every day? Do you? Do you? Or you just do it somehow, anyhow, sometimes, anytime, any old how? If that is the way we go about our Christian battle, I say you are already planning to lose. You have no way to gain, to win. Because before even firing the first shot, you have given up. I say lovingly, if we understand that we live in the final chapter of history, in the last of the last days, and the world is coming up and up and stronger all the time, and we who are Christians who do nothing about it, and only wait for Sunday to go to church half-heartedly, reluctantly, half, usually late by 5 minutes, and say, ah, I got 5 minutes discount today, very good. I say, you are losing the battle. Losing the battle. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of all these worldly things, all the media invasion. These are the enemies. These are the things that crowd in and corrupt and contaminate the minds and the thinking of your children. And you do nothing about it. In 4 to 5 years' time, you've lost your child. And when the time comes, your child is not going to listen to you. You wonder why. This is the battle we fight today. Wake up, friends. Wake up. Verse 5. God has prepared a table. In the presence of all these wicked media invasion of the home, and every Christian home must be a citadel of the faith, where you have a structured defense. You don't just leave it to chance and say, hope so. Well, hope for the best. You don't hope for the best. You just have to work and to defend your home. You don't just do it anyhow, anyhow. My friends, be serious. We have only one defense against all these attacks of our enemies, and that is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, given to us freely. Today we do not wield it, we do not use it, we do not employ it properly, and we read it maybe once a week. Why not every day? Why not with the whole family every day? Why not? Too difficult? It will not be difficult in the day, you think? In the day when your child has gone into the world and will not want to come to your home anymore. Or goes, will not come to church and goes and joins up with his gang. Finished. And they say, why didn't we do something 10 years ago? 10 years ago. I say, reverse the clock and say, now, today is 10 years ago ahead of 10 years to come. This is 10 years ago. Today. And start tonight. Start resolve tonight. Your child is your most precious investment, the most precious gift God has given to you. What defense, what protection do you give to your child? What? So, God gives to us this table in the presence of our enemies. We must continue, therefore, and consider this table. This table that God gives to us is also the Lord's table. The Lord's table which we come on the occasions that we appoint for it to be served in the church. Some churches every Sunday. Some twice a Sunday. For us, once a month. Whatever it is. The important thing is we come prepared. Meaningfully. With full understanding and appreciation of this table prepared for us. That behind the simple elements that you see on the table which says, this do in remembrance of me. Behind those elements that are put there and the sacrament that has been enacted is a great, awful price paid by the Son of God, by God Himself sending His Son to come on earth and go that painful Calvary road through Gethsemane and Pilate's judgment hall. Who? Jesus. Who? The great shepherd of the sheep. And there he went. And there he stood. And there he prayed. And there the disciples forsook him. And he prayed. He prayed with great drops of sweat, like almost like blood. And he agonized and said, Father, if it were possible, take this cup. This cup. What cup? The cup of the awful suffering that was coming on him on Calvary's cross. When all the sins of men since world began to put on him. If possible, but not my will, but thine be done. And he went. And he went through the judgment. Then he went through the cross. And then he paid the awesome price. His own life blood poured out. His own life laid down. In order that he may give us this table. Verse 5. You prepared a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies. All those that hate my soul. Satan and all his hordes of evil spirits, they hate me, they are my enemies. And in the presence of all these who want to catch me, to be one of them, my good shepherd prepared a table and said, come to this table. How do we come to this table? We come to this table with tremendous feeling. Hear my Savior. Became a man like me, took on flesh and blood and bones, and there he died for me on Calvary's cross. And that great event, the greatest event in all history, is enacted at this table. How do I come to this table? You have prepared this table for me. Must always remember the great prize that goes behind the table. And this is what God has prepared for us. So my friends, at this table we sit down and receive the elements and enjoy His presence. In those elements we behold our Savior, Jesus, broken flesh, spilled out blood, that we may have life. And this table is a table of love. God so loved us sinners. He gave His only begotten Son there to die, that whosoever believes in Him and receives Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the table, dear friends. At the table we come, commune with Him, to commune with our Savior. There let us sit and quietly contemplate. Lord, I'm not worthy of all your great love. And yet, thy word tells me, before the foundation of the world, you have already included me to enjoy this wonderful salvation and to receive your love. Contemplate. Remember with gratitude that price was paid on that dreaded day, 2,000 years ago, and there let us renew our love. Nobody can renew that love for you except you yourself resolving before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to love you. I want to love you at the expense of giving up all these other worldly things, television, other things, all those entertainments that take your time and energy and resources, give them up. I want to renew my love for thee. And there you replenish your spiritual vitality. How? When you come earnestly, sincerely, and seek the Lord's forgiveness and cleansing, and there say, Lord Jesus, come in. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come and stay in my heart. That prayer will be answered if it is honest and sincere. And Jesus will give you his life. How do you know? You know it when you have done it. Earnestly and honestly. And come and say, Lord, I want to start to serve you anew. Why not? Why not? What's the use of coming to camp and going back exactly the same and do the same old things, the same old way? I say, you're wasting your time. At the table, renew our love for him and receive from him a new commission. Lord, tell me, show to me what I can do, where I can serve. Surely there is some place. The Lord says, work is plenteous. Harvest is plenteous. Workers few. Can you not be a worker? And there at this table you say, Lord, I give you my life. Why not? You give you his life, a living sacrifice. There is no pain except to give up some of these things that bog you down. Then remind yourself there is not much time left. Remind yourself we live in the last of the last days. At this table, remind yourself, if I want to serve the Lord Jesus, it's now. Don't wait. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. What do you mean by that? Now take the sheep again. Sheep are very vulnerable to a host of insects. All kinds of harmful sheep flies. And they come and buzz around the head and they do all kinds of things. And the only thing that protects them is oil. Oil with the added some medication of something. Olive oil. So the good shepherd will oil the heads of the sheep. And those that do not have the protection of oil, they become vulnerable. Oh, they are miserable because all those flies come and give him no peace. So the sheep will be doing this all the time. Because they shake off the flies. But the good shepherd anoints the head with oil. And immediately, and I'm quoting you what I read. I've not looked after a sheep, so it's not my experience. But I'm telling you, the sheep that's doing this, immediately after the oil, all the flies go away. And the sheep is so comfortable. That's why it says here, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, how about us? Without the Holy Spirit, we are so agitated by things of the world. Every little happening, I'm irritated. Why do you irritate me? Everything is wrong. Everything. The whole day is not right. Until you have the oil of the Holy Spirit comes on you, and the Holy Spirit takes over your life and begins to direct your pathway, then you're very comfortable. You don't go like this anymore. You'd be very happy. Thou anointest my head with oil. The oil, unction of the Holy Spirit comes from the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes with you and begins to instruct you and to lead you, to guide you, and to calm you down. Look, you're a child of God. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was so meek and mild. Why don't you be like him? Why don't you be like him? The Holy Spirit in you begins to convert you, to convict you, and to change you around. And you say, that's right. That's right. Who's doing it? Not me. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is promised and sent to us, and that is the oil of the Holy Spirit Then the Holy Spirit reminds you, be like your Lord Jesus. Imitate Him. Don't imitate the people outside. Don't imitate your father or your brother or anyone else. Just imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Be more Christ-like. At the Lord's table, let us learn to reinforce and strengthen our daily communion with Him. I want to repeat this again. Only a daily communion with the Lord as a family. You say, what is family? You married? Two of you family. Start the day with God, too. End the day with God, too. How do you do it? Read the word, pray together, and that is the Lord's table with you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. How does a cup run over? He gives me a cup. The cup of His loving favor. When you dine with me, I give you a cup of drink. What is that cup of drink? It expresses the best drink I can give to you. Right? And I give it to you, and you drink. When you finish, I say, I fill it some more. Drink. This is my love. This is the cup of friendship I offer to you. And our Lord, when He entertains us at His table, He keeps us filled with His goodness. My cup runneth over. There is no limit to His goodness. He keeps on giving to us and giving to us. Let's drink it in. His love and His grace, His divine favor. Oh, what a wonderful thing if you were invited to the Prime Minister's home and He keeps on pouring, drink some more, drink some more. Here is the Lord of the whole universe, and He keeps your cup charged and running over more and more. Oh, what is it He gives to us? His loving favor. Drink it in. His loving kindness. Drink in and show to others. Show to others. That is the whole point. If I cannot show loving kindness to my fellow brethren and fellow believers, then what is my Christian faith all about? What is it? Read Bible? Walk about with the Bible? Look very holy? And then my brother says something wrong. Wow! I'm so angry with him. Then I tell people about how bad a man he is. No! My cup runneth over. I'm filled with the loving kindness of my Lord, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. He opened not His mouth. He never retaliated. He never defended Himself, but He was so kind. Not even to Judas did He scold Judas. Not even Judas, you know. And to Peter, who denied Him three times, He never scolded him. What a loving Savior. He charges your cup, running over with His goodness, drink it in and say, Lord, help me to be like You. Can you remember that? That's the whole point of coming to camp. Otherwise, what do we come here for? Show forth His loving kindness to someone every day. I like that slogan in Life Church. It says, let me do something good for Jesus every day. Yeah, that's a good slogan. Do something good for Jesus every day. I say, let us show kindness to someone every day. Let us be humble. When we ought to get angry, He said, I don't. I won't, because my Lord has given me His loving kindness and His cup runs over to me. He doesn't stinge. He doesn't limit. He gives me so much of His goodness. Let me show it to someone every day. Let me show contentment. Don't be a grumbling, murmuring Christian. That is not nice. Don't grumble. Don't murmur. Let's show contentment, because God's goodness is so good, overflows to me and overflows to others. Let us long to be like Him. Let us show love one to another, so that we may truly practice The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and the whole lot. Reciting is good, but practice is better. Practice. Show it. Remember, He purchased this cup for us with His own lifeblood. Except that He gave His lifeblood at Calvary. Talking about cup is meaningless. Meaningless. He has gone that way. He has suffered for us. And He spilled His blood for us. Broke His body for us. Endured the suffering for us. Now He gives it to you. Show it. This cup of loving kindness. Show to others. Now we come to verse 6. The last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Watch the word. Surely. It is a statement of greatest confidence. By a person who is walking on this earth, who faces many changes in circumstances around you, especially today. Can you say surely, because I'm a lamb, a child, a sheep, following the Savior, my shepherd, surely because I follow Him, goodness and mercy shall follow me, attend my ways. In the future, only goodness and mercy, but the next moment, somebody dies. The next moment you lose your job. Then you say, hey, where's the goodness and mercy? Can you work this out? Can you puzzle this out? My friends, the goodness and mercy of God to us is independent of circumstances. Alright? You meet with an accident. Wow, where's the goodness and mercy? I say, in the midst of the accident, you see the good hand of God. In the midst of bereavement, you see the good hand of God. In the midst of loss of job, you see the good hand of God. In every circumstance, see the good hand of God. Surely what? Goodness, mercy shall follow me. So come, what may. Whatever it is. Evil circumstances. Bad luck. Adverse conditions. Storms of life. All these keep blowing against me. Lose your job. How about that? It all caused us to think of God's goodness and grace to us. Then it casts us on Him again. Say, Lord, now I need You more than ever before. And the Lord who has seen me through thus far, can He not see me further on to give me a job? Have faith, friends. So many of us have gone through that. Evil circumstances, loss of job. You pray, and God answers your prayer. Faith is strengthened. My God is good. My Lord knows all my needs. So that in Jesus Christ, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, because you are still His child. You are still a sheep of His pasture, and you are still led by the same good shepherd. Therefore, this statement holds true. Surely, goodness and mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life, this short life on earth. But you must persevere. Have faith. Don't waver. Don't give up. Keep on following. The shepherd, the great shepherd is leading you on. Follow. Follow. Patiently follow and say, Lord, I do not see the future today. I do not see my way through this very dark circumstance, but I know You know the way. And surely You can help me. You can guide me. I've told you many times, we have been as a family through this many, many, many times. Sometimes it's totally black. Right. But God sees us through all these various difficult circumstances. Then, ahead, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another absolutely confident, positive triumphant, expectant, assured statement, right? It's not, I hope I will dwell. Not, I hope. I will dwell. Have you that confidence? Oh, dear friends, when you have it, then you can sing the songs of heaven. You can not have a dream of heaven, but you think of heaven and work for heaven and press on towards heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because I follow my shepherd and my shepherd will lead me home. He leads me only home, nowhere else. And I follow him therefore steadfastly. Every day will bring me one day nearer my home. Do you have that assurance? For I have followed my Lord 60 years and more. For you, whatever number of years, 10, 20, 30 years, following Jesus, how has the shepherd been to you? Can you answer me that? How has he been to you? Can you write down once when the shepherd was unkind to you? Unfair to you? Unfaithful to you? If you can, write and tell me. But I say my shepherd has been so good to me. Despite my unfaithfulness, he remains faithful. Despite my straying away, he still comes for me. Oh, he's a wonderful shepherd. He loves me so much. And this bond can never be broken. Can yours be broken? You love him? That bond is a bond that will never be broken, never be separated. Oh, we have a loving shepherd. And he leads us ever onwards to the final chapter. And we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And there we enter the final home. There eternity begins. What is eternity? I do not know what it would be like. But I know it would be something so wonderful. Eternity. Where all your daily demands of work and sweat and tears will all be things of the past. Doctors, checkups, and attending school and keeping time will all be past because time will be no more. Eternity will have begun, and in the presence of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, it will be something so amazing, so wonderful. I cannot describe for you, but I know it will be so amazing. And you will say when you are there, it was worth it all. It was worth following all these years. King David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. I have been king. I have the palaces, all that I desire I have, and more than that, but only one thing. At the end of my life, only one thing. What is it? Only one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And that is our lifelong occupation. When we arrive there, all the things of earth that encumber us today are all left behind forever and ever. And there we have the presence of the Savior. The presence of the Lamb who died for us and make it possible for us to go there. Who is our shepherd? The Lamb our shepherd? The great shepherd of the sheep who has seen us through to that day. And in his presence are pleasures forevermore. Evermore. Just to be in the presence of the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. One thing have I desired of the Lord, therefore will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, evermore, teach us how we ought to live the days of our life. Lord, teach us how we ought to reinforce our Christian walk with thee, teach us how we must take measures to keep out the evils of the world from our homes. Teach us how we ought to daily feast at the table prepared for us. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.